The Berkeley chemist Henry Schaefer reports that when state-of-the-art theoretical methods are intelligently applied to many problems involving molecules as large as naphthalene, the results may be treated in the same way that one treats reliable experiments. But no one actually solves the equations of quantum mechanics to deduce the detailed wave function or the precise energy of really complicated molecules such as proteins. Nevertheless, we have no doubt that the rules of quantum mechanics explain the properties of such molecules. This is partly because we can use quantum mechanics to deduce the detailed properties of simpler systems, like hydrogen molecules, and also because we have mathematical rules available that would allow us to calculate all the properties of any molecule to any desired precision if we had a large enough computer and enough computer time. We may even say that something is explained even where we have no assurance that we will ever be able to deduce it. Right now, we do not know how to use our standard model of elementary particles to calculate the detailed properties of atomic nuclei, and we are not certain that we will ever know how to do these calculations, even with unlimited computer power at our disposal. This is because the forces in nuclei are too strong to allow the sort of calculational techniques that work for atoms or molecules. Nevertheless, we have no doubt that the properties of atomic nuclei are what they are because of the known principles of the standard model. This "because" does not have to do with our ability actually to deduce anything, but reflects our view of the order of nature. Ludwig Wittgenstein, denying even the possibility of explaining any fact on the basis of any other fact, warned that at the basis of the whole modern view of the world lies the illusion that the so-called laws of nature are the explanations of natural phenomena. Such warnings leave me cold. To tell a physicist that the laws of nature are not explanations of natural phenomena is like telling a tiger stalking prey that all flesh is grass. The fact that we scientists do not know how to state in a way that philosophers would approve what it is that we are doing in searching for scientific explanations does not mean that we are not doing something worthwhile. We could use help from professional philosophers in understanding what it is that we are doing, but with or without their help, we shall keep at it. We could follow a similar chain of whys for each physical property of chalk, its brittleness, its density, its resistance to the flow of electricity, but let's try to enter the labyrinth of explanation through a different door, by considering the chemistry of chalk. As Huxley said, chalk is mostly carbonate of lime, or, in modern terms, calcium carbonate. Huxley did not say so, but he probably knew that this chemical consists of the elements calcium, carbon, and oxygen, in the fixed proportions by weight, 40%, 12%, and 48% respectively.